This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 205. It's fan service plus plus. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
How are you guys doing?
I'm tired from my partying.
Well, see, you know what? Sometimes you should be tardy to the party. But you should always do your pre-party stretching routine.
I should.
That way, you don't tucker out afterwards and you're not sore the next day.
Or hungover.
Yeah, you know what else won't leave you hungover the next
is our website.
True, very much so. Although there's lots of intoxicating things to read and interact with, you totally will not have any hangovers. So make sure that you visit us on the web at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce you to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles, or even just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can always subscribe.
That's right. All you got to do is pop into the iTunes music store and search for Electric Sisterhood. And bam, we'll pop up, hit the little subscribe button, and you'll get a fresh episode of our podcast each and every week. Guaranteed.
Teed.
I said teed. All right. Anyway, so make sure that you subscribe to our podcast there, as well as getting the podcasts of the other ESH crew alums. That's right, the Land of Esh. It's official. We haven't incorporated. I guess we've been established. So you can get the podcast of ESH. That's right, Electric Sisterhood, in your favorite store. Because we're in the Zoom marketplace too, people. So stop asking. We're there. We're everywhere. But you can also grab a hold of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast, which is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. And you can also grab a copy of Geek Aggro, which is co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So right there, Nerdcore got you covered for most of the week. But then you pick up with the other stuff that we do, like the stuff that we write on the website, the stuff that we do on Twitter. I mean, it's ridiculous. We're everywhere, people. So make sure that you're checking that out. So bookmark electricsisterhood.com, bookmark landofesh.com, because we'll have all of the news that you can use from all of our websites, as well as the ability for you to pick up our magazine. That's right, the magazine. It's real, it's live, and it's in print. Mm-hmm.
That means it's on paper.
Paper, motherfuckers. So make sure that you get your ESH magazine on by simply visiting the Land of Esh. You can't miss the link. If you want to, I can tell you. Just go to eshne.ws/buy ESH and then lowercase mag. So that's capital BUYESH lowercase MAG. And it takes you right to the page where you can buy a copy of our magazine. $5.99, bam, right to your door. But here's the awesome thing. We've now turned on the ability for you to buy a subscription.
Yay, subscription!
And if you buy a subscription, which, by the way, will only cost you $36, okay, dig this. Not only do you get 6 issues of our magazine, but we will also send you a PDF version of the magazine.
And so a puppy!
No puppies. Stop promising people puppies. We cannot and will not and do not give you puppies.
How about ponies?
No. We just give you the awesomes. That's all I'm promising.
Are you trying to say that ponies and puppies are not awesome?
Ponies and puppies are amazing.
Oh, I see what you did there. changing the word. I get it. Fine. So no free puppy.
No free puppy.
No ponies.
No free ponies.
Who knows? There might be a picture of one in there, guys.
It's possible that there may be pictures of puppies and ponies in the magazine. You'll have to buy it to find out. But those who subscribe get both the analog copy, the print mag, as well as the digital copies, the PDF, that you can put into your mobile device. You can watch on your laptop.
So you can read them on the go. And then when you're having gaming parties, you can fan them out like Oprah fanatics fan their Oprah magazines.
They do be fanning out their Oprah magazines, though, don't they? Like, have you ever been over at Chick's Place and you look and then all of a sudden it's like the last four issues of Oprah magazine?
Yeah, Esh Mom in the B room.
You're just like,
I sit there and I have books of like actual classical literature in the bathroom because I mean I don't like to read tabloids. Esh Mom does.
So it's prime reading Oprah time, eh?
And tabloids. And I'm always like, where do my books go? And Esh Mom likes to put them in a drawer in the bathroom. It's like, I don't like the way that they look in the bath. I'm like, well, I don't want to sit here and read Oprah's tips to a better mind. My mind's already better.
Here's the thing. I'm not impressed by your deck of Oprah magazines. I'm just going to say it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Oprah is amazing because I'm a black woman and Oprah is amazing. But I don't need to know about other people's aha moments and sift.
I know. I'm trying to figure out my aha moment.
85 pages of ads for makeup.
Because we all know that Oprah don't look like Oprah without no makeup.
Just true. But even Oprah has said, hey, I'm not Oprah until my makeup people, my hair and makeup people get a hold
show
of me.
Up.
And I don't know who appreciate I am. Her for that. You know, I will give it up, okay? Because there are some people that are like, I just roll out of bed and look like this. And you're like, bitch, no, you didn't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Mm-mm, don't lie. And Oprah just straight up like, mm-mm, no, I look like a gremlin. But it's okay, because I'm rich.
That's right. She's a rich bitch.
So I can look like a gremlin. By the time you see me, I don't. So go on ahead with your bad self, Oprah. Please have us on the show soon. Clap, clap. Okay, so now that we've done all of that stuff and we've gotten that out of the way, we have a bunch of things to talk about, including an email that I want to get to because I finally have actually opened my email.
Good for you.
For a while, I had a ban on looking at email after E3. I was so overwhelmed by all of the E3 mails and follow-up mails and all that stuff. I was like, okay, I have 700 emails right now that I haven't read that have nothing to do with anything except for video games, which is amazing, but I kind of need a minute, which is why you haven't seen a lot of my E3.
Can I go get a minute?
I was like, you know, Heffa needs a second to just kind of poof, you know, just poof. So I took a breather. I went and I did an episode of the ExtraCast with the co-hosts of the Married Gamers and Game Hounds and the other castle. And I mean, we just, Sarcastic Gamer, you know, SG Pink. I mean, we had a ball. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, make sure you go to themarriedgamers.com and check out that episode of the podcast. We had a blast. I was hilarious because I am awesome. I said it in the podcast, and it's true. I'm chock full of awesome. But I'm ready to be back in the game, talk games and gadgets. You know, I had a great hiatus. And so let's jump into it. Got an email from Trinity Thousand. What up, Trinity? Thank you for the email. Basically, she listened to the episode of the podcast where we were talking about anime, and we had brought up Hellgirl. And she checked out Hellgirl, I'm guessing Hellgirl 1, not 2 Mirrors, she said over a year ago. And she didn't really get past, like, more than 6 episodes because it got really repetitive, which was one of the things that, you know.
Well, that's the point. Like, I think I mentioned in that, mm-hmm. I think around episode 7 is the one where you actually saw, it was a boy, I believe, who made a contract, and he chose not to pull the string. So, I mean, right. That's where that whole series begins to shift. So she's right. Those first six episodes, very repetitive. Up, I made a pact. I'm going to go to hell. He's going to hell too. Okay.
Right.
So that made sense when I read that mail, because it's not until episode 7 that you start to see a difference in these vignettes.
Right, right. Because I'm watching, you know, Hell Girl, Two Mirrors, and there was this kid who, I think in the last episode that I watched, was really kind of a loner. Nobody at school liked him. He didn't talk to anybody. And except for this one girl who did talk to him, and he found out that, you know, she was going to get raped.
Wait, how do you know she was going to... Did someone in the locker room say, you know that chick? I'm going to rape her.
Basically, he was in a bathroom in a restaurant. and the dude that was kind of sort of dating her was talking with his friend about how he was going to slip her a roofie and set it up so that he could take advantage. And the friend was like, well, I want to get in on that. And the kid overheard, and so he was going to sign the pact on the website, and he chickened out. And
he let her get raped?
He was about to hit the button, and I actually showed up.
Before he clicked yes.
Uh-huh, and was talking to him. And so the website disappeared before he had a chance to click yes. And so, you know, you kind of see him just like, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. You know, maybe this is the way it was supposed to be. Maybe it won't happen, it'll be okay. And then in the next scenes, you like see her get the roofie and start passing out, and then the dude open the door and the other guy come in, and you're just like, oh man, she gonna get raped. And then turns around and I goes to her and tells her about the website, and so the girl who got attacked goes and signs a contract
to get, you know, even with,
to get even them. Yeah, with not both of them, because you can only put one name in.
Oh, that's
so
right.
She puts the name in of the guy that set her up, that she was dating, and sees the mark. And the kid was like, no, that shouldn't have happened, and you're an amazing person, and da, 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 da. And she's like, it's okay, it's cool. She was, just now I want to figure out, you know, since my soul's going to hell when I die, you know, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? You know, and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, she's still having these moments with this one kid and really treating him like a friend. And so he goes home and he's just like, you know what?
I want to go to hell too.
I'm yeah. So instead of signing a contract, because I shows up to him, you know, waiting for him to put in the name of the other guy. And he's like, no, I understand what you did and why you did what you did the other night for me, but I'm going to be okay. And so the group that works with her is like, oh, well, looks like the little miss got rejected this time. Dude goes and buys a knife. Right. Fucking kills the other dude, the one that actually raped the chick.
For real?
For real. So it definitely...
So instead of
mirrors, yeah, instead of just doing the...
The contract and it just being done, he actually went and
does the act himself, you know, because he feels really badly that he didn't act before. So I would say that Two Mirrors has some things to offer that aren't quite as formulaic, I think, as the first one. But Trinity had some recommendations for some things for us to check out if we hadn't already seen them, and if we had, wanted to know, you know, what we thought. So the first one that she mentions, which is a movie that I actually am not familiar with, is called Sword of the Stranger.
I think King Baby Duck has talked about this
I before. Think that he has, actually. And it's a samurai movie, and she rates it really high. She says it's really great and full of lots of action. So I've put it on my list of things to watch. The next one that she brings up is Morabito, which we've actually talked about. Well, I know I have. On the podcast before. I can't remember which episode, but I'm sure somebody does. And Morabito, I would definitely put in the caliber of my high respect for a series. You know, as I talk a lot about, you know, there are anime series which are just great stories that are being told, and it just happens to be through the vein of animation. I would definitely put Morabito in that character. One, the lead character, whose name is Balsa, is a woman.
Okay.
Okay, and basically she's a samurai, kinda, who now has become a bodyguard. She basically has made a pact. Something really bad happened in her past. And so to make up for it, she has decided that her penance will be to save 9 lives.
Right.
Doing whatever.
That's her way to atone for whatever it is.
For whatever it is.
A lot of samurai tend to do that. I mean, Kenshin did it.
Right.
I mean, it just seems to be the way of the samurai.
Okay. She is an amazing character, very strong, but doesn't really have a lot of great relationship ties with people, you know, because she's so nomadic. And basically what happens in the series to set up the story is that the emperor is told by his advisory board, which are called stargazers, whatever, that something has happened to his young son, Chagum, who, unless he's killed because he's been possessed by a water demon, is what they tell him,
right,
that the emperor's reign will come to a premature end, and it won't be good, and there'll be a drought among his people. But not wanting to be seen as a killer, he tries to find a way to kill his son, you know, that won't be too awful bad. But his wife finds out about it, and so she takes a few bit of jewels that she has and hires Balsa to protect her son.
Right. And so from his dad.
And so basically the attempt on his life fails, but the empire tries to portray it like it was a success, and so everybody in the country believes that the youngest son is dead when he's really not. And so the stargazers are trying to find him and send out some of the empire's top protectors of the emperor to track him down and kill him, because they now know that he's with this bodyguard. And so the entire series is just Balsa protecting this young kid who has no real understanding of what the real world is like, because he's been, you know, walled off in the palace. And so he doesn't know how to be a kid. She doesn't know how to, you know, be a friend. Or as the relationship grows, it kind of definitely takes on more of a big sister, little brother family.
Yeah, I kind of felt the way you were describing it.
Yeah.
Go that way.
But it's very well done. You know, it has the right balance of action. It has the right balance of storytelling. You know, there are some comic relief moments. There are some tension moments. And there's definitely, you know, a growing towards that feels very, very natural and right of the relationship between Balsa and Chagum changing. And I really enjoy it. So I have to agree, Morbido is definitely a series that I would recommend. So good on you. Trinity said that when she had heard that it was on Cartoon Network, she was just like, okay, but went ahead and bought the box series, because she hasn't watched Cartoon Network since they were running Witch Hunter Robin, which I have to say is also amazing.
Still, seeing that's a much older anime, but I've said my spiel about older animes being very superior to younger ones of now.
I'll just put Witch Hunter Robin again in that same category of, it's just a really interesting story that just happens to be told through animation, because sometimes you can take,
I don't know, could you imagine Witch Hunter Robin as a live action, though?
Yes, I could.
A good live action?
Yes, because I would cast the right people and have the right director work on it. Okay, can you imagine Chris Nolan directing Witch Hunter Robin?
Ooh, he's got a very dark...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, right. Yes, it could be a very good live action. You know, there's a lot of great animated tales that could be great or just very good live actions if you put the right people in place for.
I know one that I talked about a long time ago, Perfect Blue. They did make a live action, I believe, over in Japan. I really wish that they had, you know, attempted to make one over here. Because, I mean, that story, you could just put real people in there and just... God, I want to watch that right now. I haven't watched that in forever.
You know. Another one that she put on the recommendation list was Maria Watches Over Us.
Which you have talked up and down the topic.
And I will talk up and down about it anytime anybody wants to talk about it. Because, okay, and you know I usually don't like Yuri.
Oh, yeah.
But I love Maria Watches Over Us.
I was actually thinking about buying that on Amazon because of the way you talk about it.
I absolutely, absolutely loved it. And Trinity said that she was surprised that it was good because she hasn't watched anything Yuri since Revolutionary Girl Utena.
That's a good one.
Okay. But I absolutely, like, love Maria Watches Over Us. And, you know, I shouldn't. But I think it's because, you know, I was watching it on...
Like, to touch little girls? Is that it?
No.
Do you like to mentor little girls and make them...
Yes. Cute? Yes. It's a big sister, little sister.
Oh,
in
right.
a Catholic,
okay. yeah.
you know,
okay.
school situation.
Dig it that hole. Keep digging, Ninja. Keep digging.
Yeah, I'm gonna dig it a little bit deeper. There are people who are obviously infatuated with other girls. But again, I don't have anything against girl-on-girl or guy-on-guy action. I don't.
Me neither.
Okay? Okay? I don't have anything against it. As long as you tell me a good story.
Okay.
Okay? I don't care if the love interests are both girls. If it's a good story, I'm going to be rooting for them to be getting nasty all the time.
You're like, let's just do it.
Let's get it all.
Do it right now.
Like, I dig it. You love her. Go on and get you some. I'm okay with it if it's a good story. But if it's just girl on girl, guy on guy action, just for the sake of it, then I'm bored. And it's not interesting. It's just, no. All right. I guess you're going to put that in there now. Yeah, you are. Okay.
I do not like the dildo of shame.
The dildo of shame. No, seriously. You know, like Gravitation.
Okay. I love Gravitation.
Okay, right. I absolutely love Gravitation.
I really wish they had gone on to more of that. I know there's an OVA out there. Maybe I'll get that on Amazon. Can you tell I'm on an Amazon kick right
this
now?
This is totally an Amazon promo podcast. And they're not even paying us.
I know.
The sad thing about it. So I agree. You know, Maria Watches Over Us is really cute because unlike most of your Yuris, which are just beating you over the head with this girl's in love with this girl. It's not.
I think they really should start out a Yuri with a girl who thinks she's curious about women, and you see that exploration of that. Well, I'm comfortable with the scenario of guys with girls, but you know, with them coming into realization that, you know, their attraction is elsewhere. I'd love to see that as opposed to we already knowing, okay, she likes chicks because she just said it within the first 3 seconds of the first episode, and she's staring at boobs and getting nosebleeds.
Well, see, and that's why I think, you know, unlike Maria Exholic, like what you're talking about there, in Maria Watches Over Us, the main character, who's gorgeous, basically has a fear of guys, but it's explained.
Was she raped?
Anime. No. Her dad cheats on her mom. And so she has this big fear of...
That all men cheat.
Right. And
women cheat too.
Right. But it's not as well, you know, known or publicized or anything like that.
Yes.
And her mom suffers in silence. So she's deathly afraid that something like that would happen to her.
Got it.
So but it's explained, you know, over the course of a couple of episodes. And so she's just much more comfortable around women because she feels like that won't happen to her.
Right.
And she's really aloof and very quiet. And so there's this society at the school, the Rose Council, and they basically are like the best student council, okay? They pretty much run the different fundraisers and things that the school does, and every one at the school, you know, looks up to them and idolizes them, and the council basically recruits new members, and each big sister chooses a little sister. And then helps groom her to take her place when she graduates the school to leave the school. Okay. And,
right. Okay.
Just about everybody on the council picks a younger sister that kind of seems like the polar opposite of them. Some of them are family related. Some of them are, you know.
Oh my God, are the family related ones doing stuff?
No. And that's the thing about the series, you know, and I'll say this, I haven't seen all of it. I've only watched the first, I want to say, two seasons.
Because there's four seasons. I checked on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, I've watched the first two seasons and, like, the summer one, the Princeps one. But nobody does it. Everyone just explores their relationships with...
Oh, you know people are bumping...
They probably are. But I think the reason why I like Maria Watches Over Us so much is because they don't beat you over the head with it. Like, there's one girl who has short hair and is definitely, 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 definitely a lesbian. Okay? And was really reluctant on choosing a younger sister. And people were wondering why. And it was because the chick that she wanted to be her younger sister, who she really had a lot of feelings for, who had feelings for her, basically rejected her and moved to another school after they kissed because she was like, we can't do this because, you know, God will be mad at us and Mother Mary will not forgive us, you know. And so she had long hair, and so to make the break, you know, she cut her hair and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's just a really interesting tale of relationships, period, that I think just gets kind of accentuated because they're all girls. There's just nothing but, you know, exploration of a whole situation. And the main character really doesn't have a younger sister for a long time, and they're about to pick one for her, and so she picks the new girl in school who just has no sense of really self-understanding or appreciation. And the both of them, through this weird relationship, have all kinds of awkward misunderstandings, and they both get a little bit better at, through the story, communicating. And they just finally get to a point where they just get each other. So I think that you would absolutely love Maria Watches Over Us.
Yeah, but now I'm going to order the first season on Amazon when we're done.
It is definitely, like, right up your alley. It's a series that you would watch and, like, call me on the phone and be like, you totally need to watch this, like, right now.
Oh, my God, I swear to God, I'm totally gonna order it right now.
So, I agree. Definitely a good one. And then Trinity also goes on to mention two more that I really haven't heard of, so I appreciate it. Rin, Daughters of Nemnissi.
I think I've seen the box art for Nemnissi. Rin at Best Buy.
Yeah, and she says it's a good OVA series with lots of action and sex. So
yes, well, the main person on the box is pretty much wearing tape all around her, and it's conveniently right over the nips.
Over the nips.
But all the rest of the boob is like, hello.
And the boobie's like, hi, how you doing? I'm a kid.
No, it's more like that song, hello, good morning. That's exactly what that's like.
Okay.
For sure.
So, you know, this got me thinking about the anime series episode that got pulled off of the PSN earlier this week. Had you heard about that?
No. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So on the PSN, you know how from time to time they'll put up stuff in the store for free, especially on the video side, because they're really, really trying to get people to buy into video on the PSN?
Yes.
So they put up an episode for free, first episode for free. The additional episodes that are on the store were like $1.99, their typical price, of an anime series called Queen's Blade. Are you familiar with Queen's Blade?
I believe King Baby Duck is.
Yeah. Well, basically, and they put up a description of the episode, but in the episode, basically, there's like this main character who I think is like called Reina or something, and she's battling this chick. Now, the chick that she's battling shoots acid out of her nipples.
What?
Yeah, and her costume's kind of like a little bondage wear thing with her boobs out. And basically, in order to beat the chick that she's fighting, she like wraps herself around her from the back and holds her so that the acid can't come out of her boobs. So they just explode and melt her.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, the Sony has decided to pull that now. So that free episode is no longer free.
They pulled that on
Friday. And I just felt like going, hey, guys, not for nothing, it's mature rated. Okay? So I'm glad that you marked as being mature rated. But maybe the mature rated content is the stuff that you just don't make available as a free hit off the get-go.
Right.
Offer it, absolutely, because let's face it, you know, there really shouldn't be 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds bopping around the PlayStation Network to be looking at content to purchase anyway without adult supervision. And I would hope that an adult, after reading the description where it literally says that Reyna has to defeat whatever the other character's name is, I'm forgetting right now, from killing her and other people with her breasts. Like, I would imagine that any, you know, rational adult who has a kid near them would read that and go, ooh, this is not the episode for you. I know it's free, but you can't have that. So I don't have a problem with Sony pulling it as far as being free, but I will have a problem if they pull the whole series as being available from the PlayStation Network, because you should be able to get that kind of content if you're old enough and want to. You know, because let's face it, there's a shit ton of anime that has a shit ton of fan service plus, as I like to call it.
Right.
Fan service plus nakedness and sex. That's fan service plus. You know, so mostly because I want to see it now. Because now there's hubbub, and I'm just want to see, first of all, how that mechanic works. Because the mechanic of, you know, the babies popping out of Cleopatra's tit in Dante's Inferno really didn't get me.
Right.
You know, I just, as you know, I had issues with her being like, oh, it's a baby, and like grabbing her nipple and squeezing it out. Like, I don't really like that mechanic. But, you know, I might be okay with the acid spitting nipple. I mean, not me personally.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't want to be spewing acid out of my nipples. But, you know, now I want to see, you know, how does that work? How does somebody imagine?
I know. Wouldn't it hurt the nipple, too? Like,
that, like,
it would, like, burn?
Your nipple? Or what do your nipples have to be made out of so that they don't?
Maybe it would burn so good. Maybe the burn's good. Some people like burn.
Some people do like the burn. I don't like the burn. No, I don't. I don't. And then the last thing that she recommended was a series called Nana, which she said is a good shoujo drama.
It is.
And it's about two girls with the same name that become roommates. And she said that she didn't think that she was going to like it because it was made by the same chick that did Paradise Kiss.
I liked Paradise Kiss.
She did not like it, but she did like Nana and said that it was really good.
Okay.
So those are the ones that she recommends, and she said that she wished she could recommend more, but finding things good these days are a dime a dozen.
That's very true.
And I, you know, we've talked about this. It absolutely is true. I'm having a difficult time finding good anime, you know, that's coming out that's new. It's becoming really difficult. And so I find myself going back and either watching some things that I already have. You know, like, I rewatched all of Hellsing Ultimate recently. Well, that I had. Because I think there's still one left to come out in, like, 4 months or something. And then I went back and I rewatched all of Trinity Blood. Because I really enjoyed Trinity Blood. And then I went back and I read, like, 4 or 5 of the manga that I have. You know, and so I find myself going back to some of the things that I already have because it's so hard to find, like, good new stuff. And I feel like, you know, all my outlets for finding good stuff are drying up. You know, love it or hate it, for a big chunk of time, Cartoon Network was a great place to find anime. You know, it's where I discovered Big O, which I fucking love Big O. Big O should totally be a movie.
I'm surprised it isn't one yet.
I really am. But Big O totally, totally, totally should be a movie. And I feel like, I don't know if I want the guy that plays Batman right now in the Batman movies to pay Roger Smith. I think that I really want Robert Downey Jr. to play Roger Smith.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that he could do a subdued character that you would always think there's something else going on there, which I really always thought with Roger Smith. You know, he tried to be really aloof and come off like he wasn't caring, but you would always see that he would have that moment where, like, when the blonde chick was in danger or when he finally figured out what was going on kind of sort of with Dorothy, where he let all of his emotions out. So you kind of need a character that comes off like a prick, but right. Then you would find it believable when they have a big heart later on.
Yes. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
And I think that he could do that really well. Because I definitely want somebody with experience. I don't want Shia LaBeouf to do it.
No.
Okay.
As much as I like Shia.
Like, I think that he's going to be killer in this new Wall Street movie. Although I'm not sure why they made a new Wall Street movie. But I think that Shia is actually going to be good in it.
He could be. We'll find out.
Okay. You know, because the kid's talented. And I really don't want the last thing that people remember him for is being Crystal Skulls. Nobody should be remembered for the Crystal Skull Indiana Jones movie.
No. You're absolutely right.
I did finally watch that, by the way.
Good. I'm glad.
And I actually threw up in my soul.
In your soul?
In my soul. It made me throw up in my soul.
Ouch. Okay. Yeah.
It was really, it was acidy too, so it burned my soul.
Right.
Yeah. So thanks for the picks on the anime stuff. Absolutely some good things to talk about there. And some things to put on my list and hopefully to put on you guys' list. And then the only other thing that I want to kind of touch upon, and I'm going to give the mic of a thousand truths over to the panda, because I know you got some shit that you want to share.
When don't I have shit?
When you're constipated?
Well.
But I think that's the only time. So you just make sure you got your fiber and you're all set. You guys know I love music games. It's actually hurting me right now that my Xbox is in Texas being hopefully replaced for yet another Red Ring. Because I was dying. Well, that's a little stressful. I was really, really, really wanting to play DJ Hero this week. Like, I had the buzz. I've been listening to a lot of Deadmau5 lately, which if you don't know about Deadmau5, you need to fix that because that's some great listening right there. It's definitely booty popping music. If you're into the dancing in the club scene, which I'm a recovering club kid. Anyway, but I started thinking about some of the stuff that I was seeing as far as music games at E3. One that I haven't really been talking about a lot, you know, because really Dance Central and Rock Band really kind of stole the show for me as far as music games go. And congratulations, by the way, on getting the game of the show from Kotaku on that Harmonix.
Clappy, 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 clappy.
But one that I want to talk about right now is Def Jam Rap Star. Because I got to eat some crow on that. You know, I'm totally going to eat some crow on that. I was like, really? Karaoke for rap? Music? Really? That's where we're going to go. Like, SingStar rap? No, this isn't going to work. Because I don't like SingStar games. Even though I like music games. I don't. If I want to go do karaoke, I'll go do karaoke. Don't try to make it all points-based. But Def Jam Rap Star, after seeing it at the Konami booth at E3, watching some people playing, watching the demos that they were doing, I gotta say, I gotta eat crow. It looks good. It looks fun. Okay, so basically, it at its core, it is a SingStar game, or has the mechanics of a SingStar game that we're all familiar with. So you have both the ability to have duets, as well as a single mode player. And I think I mentioned it a little bit in a podcast before, but they've run out and listed some of the songs that are going to be in the game, and now I'm getting even more excited about it.
Okay, then why don't you tell us about some of the songs then?
Because you know that I enjoy the singing part of the rock bands and the Guitar Heroes. But I also am black.
No, really? I didn't.
Seriously,
know that.
Like, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I happen to be black. And I enjoy the hip-hop music. Why, some of the songs in my iTunes library just happen to be hip-hop music.
No, really? Not all of it? Like, I thought...
Well, it's the major bone of contention that I have with a lot of the singing games out there, is that the majority of the stuff is, you know, pop music. And pop music is good, but pop music isn't the only piece of music that I enjoy, you know? I mean, when I saw that there was Beastie Boys stuff in Rock Band, I was like, oh, hell yes, at least there's a little something to kind of break up the monotony of what's going on musically. Well, Def Jam Rap Star, right off the bat, I Get Around by Tupac.
Really?
Seriously.
I Get Around.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know a black person over 10 who doesn't know all of the lyrics to I Get Around. I'm going to have my very own digital underground posse. We're totally, I am Tupac, by the way.
You're not Tupac.
I am Tupac.
You are not Tupac.
Yeah. Yeah, I am no. Machiavelli. Just
no,
let you know.
No, you're not.
Yep.
No.
I Get Money by 50 Cent.
I Get Money. Oh, yeah.
Scenario. Scenario by A Tribe Called Quest.
I love A Tribe Called Quest.
I love Scenario. It was the first kind of big introduction to Busta Rhymes that I had. I mean, because I like Leaders in the New School, and I still have some of my music vinyl. But Scenario was just like my shit. It really was. It was one of the cassettes that I broke because I played it so much. Just a Friend by Biz Markie.
Really?
Best I Ever Had by Drake.
Really? Drake?
Yep.
Already?
Yep. Today Was a Good Day by Ice Cube.
But today was a good day.
A Millie by Lil Wayne.
Wait, the clean version or the dirty version?
The clean version. All the music that's going to be in this game is going to be the radio edits.
Because Wheezy, really?
Wheezy, I don't really know what a clean version of a Lil Wayne song would sound like.
It'd sound like this.
Young Money.
Is it? Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I think that's it, which I could totally do. So that's good. I could probably do that on, you know, like, Expert or, you know, Difficult, whatever the hell that their legacy is going to be. Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
Sorry. I like that song, actually.
Mama Said Knock You Out.
LL Cool J?
Oh, yeah. Stand Up by Ludacris, which I got to say right now, I think that Ludacris is one of the better entertaining rappers in the industry right now who's totally not getting any cred. Like, he spits some really nice lyrics, he acts really well, and he started pulling his pants up. So right there, he's got, like, the trifecta of awesome going for me. Because I'm really, really over the sagging of the...
And he did that love song thing. The one where it's like, make love to me, and then the other verse is, you know, F me. Because girls, we don't know. Sometimes we want it, and sometimes we want it, Sometimes we want,
Okay, so anyway, let's get back to
what?
This.
I like that. I don't
cool.
know what
it's cool.
Something waterfalls.
Yes, Splash Waterfalls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. Juicy by the Notorious B.I.G.
Okay.
There's also Run's House.
Is there some Snoop Dogg?
There's not any Snoop on this list, but of course there'll be Snoop Dogg. Like, they've got Nothing But a G Thing, which is a Dre song, really, with Snoop on it. But I can't imagine that you're going to have Def Jam Rap Star and not have some Snoop Dogg on there. Again, this is just their initial release. And I'm sure, like most music games, they'll have DLC packs for it. Push It by Salt and Peppa, Children's Story by Slick Rick, Live Your Life by T.I. with Rihanna, Cream by the Wu-Tang, Put On by Young Jeezy with Kanye West, So Fresh So Clean by Outkast, They Reminisce Over You by Pete Rock and CL Smooth, which is my jam from back in the day.
Which was a Wednesday.
Which was, in fact, a Wednesday, by the way. So, I mean, the lineup right now is just smashing, you know? I mean, I really got to give it up to them. They've been taking their time with this game, but it looks like it's going to pay off. And I think, you know, much in the way that Activision kind of envisioned DJ Hero reaching out and getting the more urban piece of the game market, I think this is going to be the game that really does it. Because looking at the lineup of songs that are going to be in the next DJ Hero, which I'm really excited about, by the way, that definitely seems to be trending more towards the mashup aficionado and club kid, which exists.
You're a club kid, though, so we shouldn't be all that surprised by the fact that...
I'm a recovering club kid. You know, I take it one day at a time. But it just, it seems like the breadth of music game is definitely growing. You know, we're now getting more balanced out for the trance, dance, techno head, but also pop kid with your DJ heroes. And I think that Def Jam Rapstar is really going to be the game that brings in the other side outside of the pop people of the music aficionados who play games. Like, I'm really, really excited about doing Just a Friend by Biz Markie. I mean, that is a great song that all your friends think they know all the lyrics to, but they really only know the lyrics when they're drunk.
It's a drunk song.
Okay. I'm looking forward to the party where I whip out the mics and I throw this thing in and everybody starts to try and sing Gold Digger by Kanye West. That to me, like, is going to be hella fun. So I Konami and Def Jam, I got to tell you, I'm going to eat crow. I thought your game was going to suck. It looks like it's not going to suck. I can't wait to get my MC on. You know, they're going to have the freestyle mode where you'll be able to play different loops that are built by, you know, producers like Kool and Dre and just rhyme over the top of them. So if you don't have any skills, you can try to get some skills.
And I would if I were you.
Yes, because some of your card statuses are in question, if you know what I mean. And I think you do. So I'm looking forward to it. And I can't wait to get my hands on it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And once I do, I will make a YouTube video. I got to get my gear right, you know, first. Got to get the right look. But there will be a Ninja Sister Rap Star video. I promise you this.
I will put money down that don't happen. I don't know.
That's a silly bet. I would take that bet because I need money. Money I got. I run VA. All right, that's the end of my stuff. What do you got for the people?
I was more or less just going to gush over the latest little leaks that are coming out about, you know, ongoing things in games that we're looking forward to, you know, in terms of release. Like, oh, I don't know, Fable 3. Yeah, so I was watching a review done by... Angry Joe. I don't know if you've ever seen any of his gaming reviews, but he's so cool. And he had done an interview with a guy who was a designer so far on all three games.
Okay.
So this guy's very knowledgeable of the Fable franchise.
Of the Fableness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And, you know, like, I already knew that they're gonna, you know, try to refresh co-op to make it a little bit more enjoyable and not feel more like a
ball and chain.
You're just the elephant in the room.
I'm the thing that hits the orb so we can get to the next room.
Yes, you were actually...
That's my job. I hit the orb.
Yes, you helped me...
Ninja smash!
...decide if I was going to change my sex or not. And then I did.
You know, that sounded so wrong. That's... Yeah.
What? You remember that room?
I do remember that room. Phallic that bottle was.
Yeah, now it's my trophy. And I could, like, wave balls around. So, I play the game in forever. But, anyway. But what, you know, they're planning to, you know, make, you know, co-op a little bit more comfortable for us. And, You know, people are always like, why can't I bring my hero over? Why do I have to be one of these lame, you know, prefabbed, you know, characters?
Yeah, why can't I have my dog? I always hated that, you know, I really, really wanted to, the first time that we did co-op in Fable, I was really disappointed because I was like, man, that's not my hero, remember? Because I jumped out and I'm like, that's not what I look like.
I know, because I was curious as to what your character did look like. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so I ended up having to take a picture and show you that my character looked just like your character.
So, I mean, it was just, you know, it wasn't what we were expecting for the co-op. So, I mean, they definitely went in there going, okay, we know exactly one big thing we need to change. So, I mean, if you guys weren't aware already, you know, we should definitely easily come to expect that when you do co-op with someone, you bring over your hero, everything you have with you, your dog goes with you.
Nice.
So, like, you're seriously just two heroes together. So it's not hero and henchman. Hero, you know, bad guy and minion. Hero and sidekick. It's, you're both completely equal.
Yay!
And it's, I wouldn't say it's free roam. But, you know, you both don't have to stay in the main screen. Like,
okay.
One can go off, like, as long as you're in the same, I think they said you had to be in the same level.
Okay.
I mean, like, same area. But I could go flirt with some dude, and you could go make some swords. I don't know if there's craftsmanship. But, I mean, you could go to
a
different
place.
It's a
Fable game. Of course there's craftsmanship.
So, I mean, but I'm just saying, so you don't have to stay right by my hip 24 hours. You could go anywhere in the area that we're in.
Okay.
And it won't disrupt anything. So, I mean, I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's going to be really nice because the camera angle sucked. I mean, they didn't go into camera angles in the interview. I mean, I'm going to assume that with this freedom of being able to not be necessarily near the person's world that you enter, that I'm sure the camera won't be as much of an issue for both people as opposed to when it was horrible for just one. So we will see. Because I've yet to know a game that has perfect camera angles. Name me one. Anybody.
Uncharted 2.
Touche.
Ninja, yeah. Weeds.
Yeah, but how long did it take us to get to the stage where games are like...
Okay, started? So it took like 9 years for them to create a game
with perfect camera angles.
Camera angle problems.
So it'll be another 9 years before we get another one.
Right.
Unless Uncharted 3 comes out
early.
Which it might. We'll see. So, I mean, I was very excited about that. And then I had my squee moment. We all know that I have this weird, I shouldn't say it's weird, but I have this affinity for role-playing-esque games.
Obviously, no!
Of RPG.
No!
And I immerse very quickly in them. And we already know how much time I spend.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? We're not going back to those times, right?
Not going back to WoW. That's not where I'm going.
Okay. Because I will hurt you through the internet.
I know. I've been debating since now I have a job and I could afford to.
Don't.
Anyway.
You know how you get.
Yes, I would lose my
you
job.
You shun
I wouldn't have money.
The outside world.
I do. I'm like, fuck you, outside world. No. Bringing it back a little bit to Dragon Age. Not necessarily.
Okay. I'm okay with Dragon Age.
The Dragon Age 1 has a definitive quote-unquote stop.
Right.
Well, anyway, number 2 has been... They've announced that a number 2 is in the works. Thank you, BioWare.
BioWare. Thank makers you. Of thank awesomeness you. Since whenever they were established.
So, thank you for that. I was kind of curious to see where the story would go. Because, I mean, depending on if you've played it and you played it all the way through, 1 to 2 things can possibly happen. I mean, you can, you know, defeat the really bad thing at the end of the game and die doing it, or through very dark, evil magic means, slay the evil and survive, but at a cost, obviously.
Right, so, because you can't just slay evil and get off scot-free.
Well, no, because, I mean, you understand, I don't know if you know the premise of Dragon
Age. I do.
All right, so the Grey Wardens, you know, they have a little bit of that Darkspawn blood in them, and, you know, they are meant to fight, you know, the Archdemon. But what they don't tell people when they become Grey Wardens, if they are chosen to be, you know, the way to kill an Archdemon is to pretty much die with it, because its essence goes into whatever form kills it. and a regular human would just like couldn't even withstand it, and it would just go to the next worthy. And it's attracted to darkspawn. So, like, if you kill the dark demon near some darkspawn, the essence would just flow into another darkspawn, which would then make it another archdemon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to go into a vessel that has some darkspawn blood in it, but isn't necessarily darkspawn. Because right. then it wouldn't turn into an archdemon,
right.
which is what the Grey Wardens are.
Right.
So, you know, if you end up having to sacrifice yourself, you know, you absorb all that power and you pretty much blow up and you die.
Right.
And it would be several billion, well, not several billion years, but it will be a great long period of time before the next archdemon forms.
Right.
Which is why there are, like, all these areas of peace, and then the blight, and then an era of peace, and then blight, and then, and all that.
Right.
So, but it really doesn't, it doesn't follow right after the initial Dragon Age. It's actually set 10 years later.
Okay.
And you play the, yeah. So from the character that you make, it has, I mean, him or her may, I mean, I don't work for Bioware, so I don't really know. They, you know, there might be, you know, literature about that Grey Warden. Because I actually think that replication, like, the depending on which decision you make at the end of your game, might have shaped for this story to happen.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you choose to use the dark path, which, you know, you dabble in some dark magic that allows you to, you know, conceive a child that will have darkspawn essence on it. And when the archdemon is slain, that essence will attract to this young child.
Mm-hmm.
Or this young, like-ish child, I should say, because I wouldn't say it's necessarily human. And Morgan, if you remember Morgan, I'm sorry, she's the dark witch in your group. She's the one who beds you, or beds a man.
Mm-hmm.
They said baby thing. And it's on condition, and she's willing to do it, but on the condition that she gets to keep it, and you cannot ever come after her with it, like, for it. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that might tie into this story. But you play a dude named Hawk. I'm going to assume it's a dude. And they haven't gone into too much detail, but he's like he's the most important figure of this entire story. Like, he's it.
Okay.
He's, like, no matter what, he is at the beginning and the end of this. He's a cockroach. He will survive the mushroom cloud. He is that, you know, important. So I'm kind of curious, because I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, this might be 10 years later. Who's to say that this Hawk guy isn't that son of Morrigan? Because he's not human, though he looks human. I would assume under the premise of that he grows at an abnormally fast rate. So he wouldn't necessarily be, you know, young by then. He'd appear older than that. I mean, I'm just so curious as to how they're going to tie any of that in. Like, I really, 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 really want to know.
So let me ask you a question. When you were playing the first game, because I only did I think I played the first level of the game, and then I got sidetracked by other things. But when you were getting through the game, like, was there ever a point where you were like, okay, this is a game that definitely deserves a sequel, and I hope they make it?
Yes, but that was pretty instant, actually. Well, because, I mean, when you play through the first game, I mean, there are so many different things that are going on, depending on what class and race you are. So, I mean, you got to play through all of them, really, to get the full story of everything that's going on, because, believe it or not, one race does tie into another race that might have done something with it. So, I mean, everyone is linked somehow. You know, and the way that they ended it, with that choice of whether or not to sacrifice yourself and die, or allow this ritual to take place with Morrigan or not. You know, like, I'm wondering, I'm like, why would they set that up so that all of a sudden she would just take this child and disappear? I'm like, because for most of the game, you don't really know whose side Morrigan is on. Like, yeah, she's fighting with you, you know, and at one point, you know, one of her like, companion mission, you actually have to go and kill her mom.
Oh, that's really pleasant.
Well, it's not really her mom, it's just a woman who raised her and, you know, as a mom. Because you find out that this old witch, like, she raises a daughter, and when she's about to grow old, she, like, takes over that daughter so that she can live forever. So, I mean, Morrigan finds
out. Kind of like all Full Metal Alchemist on it.
More or less. So, you know, Morgan's like, I can't believe that that's what she's doing. She's planning to take me over. And, you know, I've just been doing everything that she wants. But then, you know, at the very end, when she mentions this ritual, it's something that her mom, quote unquote, had taught her. So you're kind of like, I don't know if I should trust you. Like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she, you know, becomes, you know, I wouldn't say as powerful as her mom, Flemeth, because, I mean, if you choose to do her companion mission, you do slay her. And it would take a great, you know, it takes a long time for Flemeth to come back. So, I mean, in that time period that Flemeth's gone, I could see what, you know, Morgan rising in power in terms of being a, you know, being a magi or being a witch. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they've turned the gates and now that storyline with her is what's carrying over to the second game. So, I mean, the way they left it open, I knew a second game was coming. I just didn't know when they'd release it.
Okay.
Or any of the news on it. I mean, I'm kind of glad that they've narrowed it down because obviously you only play as one, you play as one character as opposed to making your own.
Right.
I'm sure Hawk can either be a girl or a boy. I'm not exactly sure. And like I said, they just gave a name. So, I mean, like I said, it could be any.
You know. Do you think that the majority of people who play the first game will enjoy being limited to the one character?
I think, well, I mean, I mean, I think the great thing about RPGs is the fact that there's a lot of choice going on. So, I mean, for them to limit to one character, and I'm sure, like I said, you probably will be able to choose, excuse me, how Hawk appears, what sex. I'm sure that is your choice. I mean, and I wouldn't be surprised if he has like he or she has an arsenal of, you know, weapons and powers and whatnot that would, you know, allow them to, you know, be any type of character, whether they're like a magic user or a melee user or a range user or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, putting all those into one person might make that character feel more expansive. So then you could, you know, you could go back and replay it and, oh, now Hawk can be a completely total magic user as opposed to, you know, an upfront, here's a hammer to your face or here's a bow in your neck. So, I mean, there's always possibilities. So, I mean, I don't feel limited at all because, I mean, granted, you know, the only thing that made each of the other stories in Dragon Age 1 appealing was that it was just the starting story, like how they became Grey Wardens, like under what circumstances they became Grey Wardens. That's the only thing that was different. After that, the rest of the story was exactly, you know, the same. You go to certain places, you're trying to get your army together, you don't know who you're going to sleep with yet. Oh, wait, you do know who you're going to sleep with yet. Wait and choose who that is. By the way, BioWare, if you're listening, I hate the fact that in order to become queen, you got to marry a royal and you have to be human because elves should totally be able to rule the country. Just saying. I only made one human royal and it was a dude and he married the queen, but I was like, I want to marry Alistair so bad. So I made this really hot elf and, you know, he ended up choosing to marry the queen and he's like, I would marry you. And he's like, I love you, but, you know, the country's an uproar and, you know, people don't really like elves. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? We just humped in the camp and this is what you're going to do to me? What? I was so pissed. You have no idea. No idea. Well, I'm sure you do because I just told you. It makes me so mad. But
I did all that humping and I still...
No! I gave him all the figurines that he wanted. I complimented him all the time. We had sex by the fire. You know, and I took the heat from the rest of the companions' comment on that. After you sleep with someone, like, whoever's with you is like, so, did you hear that noise the other night? I swear I heard this god-awful moaning. So, I mean, they do. You know, when you start sleeping around, they comment on it while you're battling. And I'm like, you know, guys, this is not the time to be bringing up my sexual habits. No, we're fighting
right now.
We're
now
fighting
is not
the
time
right
to
now.
Talk about how loud I am when I'm humping you.
Exactly, more or less. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be very inclusive. I don't think we'll feel limited. I mean, and I heard we're getting a graphics upgrade, we're getting a better combat system. Because, I mean, for the most part, if you went into that, into Dragon Age 1 with, you know, an easy setting, you could bounce between all your characters and fight as them or fight as your main character if you wanted to. But, I mean, if you set it on easy, they pretty much fought to themselves, and you could easily not touch your controller, and your character would just start to fight by itself. So it's more like watching a movie. And I mean, the better you get, the harder your difficulty, where you, all of a sudden you really are controlling all four people at the same time, or, you know, or setting them to do particular things, kind of like an RTS, if you can imagine.
Okay.
So, I mean, the fact that they're going to, you know, revamp the combat system, I'm kind of happy at, because easy was way too easy. And if you weren't used to that type of style of combat, normal was way too hard, because you didn't know who you should be setting to what. You didn't know whose strengths were where. Especially because when you start out, everybody's around the same level, so everyone kind of sucks. Until they start, you know, building up in their stats. But no, I don't feel very enclosed or, you know, inclusive to this. And I'm very excited to see where this story goes. And I want to see if there are any ties to the first one here, even though there's been 10 years in the game.
I think that, you know, BioWare is really smart. There will be ties. I mean, look at Mass Effect 2. Okay, you have basically the same but not the same character. And they bring back enough ties from the first game, you know, Garrus, and depending upon what you did, Caden showing up on that planet, but still make it enough of its own adventure that it's interesting. So I can't imagine that they wouldn't do something similar in order to keep the fan base interested and engaged in this new title.
So I mean, I'm just generally excited.
I now have a question for you. Because I know this week you recently watched the presser for the Microsoft event with Eshmon.
Yeah. Well, she watched part of it and fell asleep. I watched all of it.
So, in watching that with Eshmom, what was the thing that she reacted to most when she was awake? I'm curious.
Let me see. When she was awake, I would say that she was most engaged with Dance Central.
Really?
Really. She was like, oh my God, she's like, you can dance. Like, actually dance. I'm like, yes, Mom. That's what... How much... What's Kinect? That was another question of... Like, what's this Kinect thing? I don't see it on the stage. I'm like, Mom, that black box there? She's like, what is it? I'm like, it's a camera. It's a camera? How's the camera going to capture to that? And I'm like, you'll see when I buy it. But, yeah. So, I mean, she was just like... So, it watches everything you do, and it felt like she... You know, when it would, like, follow that girl when they were doing the demo with Kinect.
Uh-huh.
You know, she was very engaged with that. And she's like, well, that makes gaming... She's like, and for driving, I don't have to have a wheel? I'm like, no, it's your hands, Mom. You are the controller. Get out of here. No, really. Get out of here.
Not really. Get out.
It's like, technology's really... I'm like, yes. And then she's on Dance Central, and she was just like... That looks amazing. She's like, oh, people are going to learn how to dance now. And that's when I was like, okay, you should stop talking. I mean, I didn't show her. Like, I have the Cirque du Soleil thing also mm-hmm. on there. And I watched that before I went to work that day. So Eshmom hasn't seen that. And I think she would freak out. Like, I think she would just freak if she saw that. But I think that was really probably the biggest thing for her, really.
So. Well, cool. Well, cool. So we've talked a little bit about anime. Actually, we've talked a lot about anime.
Yeah, we've done some game stuff for the podcast today.
Yay! The anime, it came back.
Anime go down the hole. Anime come back. Baby, toot, come toot. Back.
Toot toot, go down the hole.
Toot, toot, come back.
Toot, toot, come back.
Anyway.
Oh, God. I love...
Oh, my God. That's what I should get on Amazon. It's Tiny Toon Adventures on DVD. I love Amazon.
Okay. Well, this is just a big-ass Amazon promo.
Figured it out. The shit I dig this week, Amazon. And John Cusack.
Okay, well, hold on, because we haven't gotten to that part of the show yet.
But we
have gotten to the point where I remind you to visit us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is...
ESH.Mobi, that's, wow, I just blanked.
That would be ESH.MOBI.
The short address will bounce to the long one. And you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or even just questions for us, you can email us at questions@ESH.Mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, then you should just subscribe and get it over with.
Absolutely. Just jump into the iTunes store, look for Electric Sisterhood, hit the subscribe button. You'll be happy. Fresh Eshnish in your inbox every week, because we do this every single week. And you should also get the podcast from the other Land of Esh crew people, because, you know, we roll deep up in this piece.
We do balls deep.
I'm talking about balls deep in podcasts. So make sure that you get a hold of the Boston Bastard Brigade, which is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck. They have new episodes on Tuesday. Our new episodes go out on Monday. And then for your Wednesday, hump day, get it done, get it right, get it tight. You want to make sure that you get a copy of Geek Aggro, which is co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild. So right there, boom, we got you taken care of. Then for the rest of the week, there's all the stuff that we write on our respective websites. If you want to catch it all, go to thelandofesh.com. Everything from Geek Aggro, Boston Bass Brigade, and Electric Sisterhood can be found there. One-stop shopping for awesomeness. Boop! And while you're there, make sure that you check out the new issue of the Electric Sisterhood magazine, which can be yours for the low, low price of $5.99 U.S. dollars. You want to get it. You can have it. Just click the buy button. Or better yet, buy a subscription. If you do, you'll get 6 issues plus PDF copy of the magazine. So you can take the digital around wherever you like. Not get any fingerprints on it. Put it on your mobile. Put it on your laptop. Put it on toast. I don't care. Just
put it on your dog. Dog.
Put it on your dog.
Put it on your hot dog and digest that shit, motherfucker. Esh goodness. For your mouth. And your ear holes, too.
And
your eye holes. I guess just for holes.
Oh, my God.
Well, I guess. Sorry. Okay. Going over here now.
Yeah, you do that. If you've got questions that you want answered, and maybe we're just not the person to answer it for you, but you can't ask your mom, you can ask our mom. So just send your questions for Esh Mom to questions@esh.mobi, and we'll get her on the show answering your questions, as only our mom can.
Funny.
Yeah. So, we already know that the shit you like, the shit you dig, is Amazon.com. That's Amazon.com. Get it, fuckers.
And John Cusack.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just put that on the list.
Oh, I'd love to get a John Cusack for Christmas.
Yeah, no. I'm good, but I'm not that good. I'm not getting you John Cusack for Christmas.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I mean, slavery, it's over, so I can't.
No. You would be my slave.
I can't buy you John Cusack for Christmas.
I would just cuddle him and feed him and water him.
No, you wouldn't. You would declothe him and rape him. I mean, love him.
No, I would make him say all the really good lines from all of his best movies. And then I'd make him watch his own movies with me. And then I'd feed him.
I saw the movie Misery. I know what happens. You don't want to do that to John Cusack. Don't do
Cusack.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. I bit my tongue. Leave me alone.
What is shit you dig?
As far as shit that I dig this week, I'm going to have to go with bomb-ass audio. I did a lot of music listening this week, mostly because I needed to in my soul. I was bereft of beats. But this week, listened to a lot of good stuff. Got a couple of new albums. Gotta tell you, right now, on the top of the shit that I dig, it almost hurts me to say this, Drake. I'm kind of surprised. Because I didn't really think I'd like Drake. But I do. Okay, the song that he did, Successful, it's some shit that I dig. Also, there's a remix of a song. I've been tweeting about it for the last, 48 hours. called Happiness, and I gotta give a shout out to Esh Mom, because she's actually the one that told me about the song by Alexis Jordan that was remixed by Deadmau5. It's kind of the shit.
Kind of, or is?
No, it's the shit. So, those are the shits that I dig right now. Really good music, really good audio. Check them out. I'll put their names and maybe some YouTube-y linkies, because I know you kids dig the linkies, in the podcast notes. So make sure that you check them out. That's our show for this week. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're out of here, people.
See you next week.